Did she really do that? You betcha she did. Hello and welcome back to another episode of You Betcha She Did, the podcast where female entrepreneurs, changemakers, and leaders, especially from Wisconsin, share their wit and wisdom. I'm your host, Raina Rakicki. Today I have Shelley Seward in the house, and she is the owner and founder of Capture Sports and Entertainment. It's a PR firm based in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And for over 10 years, Shelley has used her talent and experience to help professional athletes, coaches, and teams impact lives. She has worked with some big name players, guys. She's worked with NFL legends like J.J. Watt, Aaron Rodgers, and Mike Evans. She's worked with the Milwaukee Bucks, Olympic gold medalist April Ross, and many more. She specializes in running nonprofits, hosting fundraising events, and digital campaigns. And she's also grown her company from a one-woman show to a team of 20 plus. In addition, she also has her own podcast called Athletes Doing Good, which was recently relaunched. We are really excited to have her on the show, especially for someone who's in such a male-dominated industry. She's a perfect example of someone who, you know, did what she needed to do. You betcha she did. Shelley, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit first about the journey and also the inspiration behind founding Capture Sports and Entertainment. Like, how did it come about?
Absolutely. My background is in the nonprofit world. Growing up in the family, making an impact was something that was just instilled in us through volunteering, through all of the different things that my parents had done. And so knew I always wanted to make an impact in some way, shape, or form. And so upon graduating from college, I went to work about 12, 13 years in the nonprofit space. And for me, because of the nonprofits that I worked with that were really truly run like a business, it really gave me so many of the skills needed to be able to start my own company down the road. So following, you know, working in the nonprofit, I did a couple of years, 4 or 5 years as association management, and then went and worked for a sports team and was their vice president of marketing, and then also started their foundation. And so, you know, that kind of journey led me to, it was just over 12 years ago, of starting Capture Sports and Entertainment.
Awesome. So did you always have an interest in the sports world, or did that come about when you started working for that sports team?
No, sports have been ingrained in us since we were little. We're a big, big sports family. You know, so I think, yes, I wanted to do something in sports. I just didn't know exactly where that fit would be truly until after working in a sports team. And for me, because of the age that my kids were at the time, it just wasn't conducive for my family life. And so that's really was kind of one of the big impetuses for me starting my own foundation, or excuse me, starting my own company. I come from a very entrepreneurial family. My grandpa started 4 small businesses in his lifetime. My grandma had her own business, which, you know,
very cool.
Recently passed.
You know, if you think of the time.
Yeah, at 98 years old, she recently passed. And for her, I kind of always thought it was normal for women to own businesses.
What a great role model, you know, growing up.
She so was. And, you know, I think when I went to start my own, you know, it was interesting seeing the reactions of everybody. Like, my dad was like, "You'll never work harder. You know, it's going to be so fulfilling. You can manage it how you want." My mom was a little bit more like, "Did you see us grow up? You know, you grew up in a small business and it's a little more challenging." But my grandma was like, "You know what, Shelley?" She's like, "You say yes, you can figure it out. Like, you know, say yes to opportunities that come your way. I promise you, you'll figure it out." And so I really took her words of wisdom with me through this journey.
Wow. It really was in your family blood, you know, to go down this entrepreneurial kind of nonprofit world. That's super cool. That's definitely not, you know, everybody's experience.
Yeah. My younger brother, he actually started his own company about a year and a half after I did. And my cousin has his own company. So it's awesome to have them to be able to talk with, to be able to bounce ideas off with, to, you know, particularly during COVID, that, you know, the three of us were like, hey, what are you doing? How are you handling it? How are you managing it? What, you know, what is your accountant saying? What is my accountant saying? You know, to be able to go through it. So I'm very fortunate to have them as sounding boards.
Talk to us a little bit about your experience, you know, being a woman in a pretty male dominated industry. How have you navigated that? And do you have any advice for others?
Yeah, you know what? It's unique. I'll give you that. But I always just say, if you are able to do your best work, do what you say you're going to do, you're going to gain the respect for it. Don't let the challenges that are inevitably there stop you. You know, just be able to figure it out. And you're going to do some things differently than your male counterparts, and that's okay. So for me, I try not to dwell on that, quite honestly. I try to instead figure out ways that we can showcase the differences.
And maybe use them even as advantages, right? If you're like, I'm not doing it the same, but it might be a
right,
better way.
Correct. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I often say, like, you know, our business model is different. We just do things a different way. And one's not wrong. One's not right. It's just different.
Okay. That's good. I like that. It's a good approach. You know, find your own pathway as you go about. Well, you've had the opportunity to work with some prominent figures in the sports world. What are some key lessons or experiences that have shaped your approach to this work? And how does one even begin to contact someone who's a higher level star?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, when I started Capture, my original business plan was actually to be working more in the corporate space and working on the cause marketing campaigns within the corporate space. I think there's two things that really shaped me and pushed me into more of the sports realm. One was when I was at the sports team, I had the opportunity to bring in Aaron Rodgers to the sports team and have him meet a little boy who was battling cancer. Was so radioactive the night before that he slept with a piece of metal between him and his mom, and came in from New York and saw that interaction. And obviously Jack was very, very impacted by Aaron. But on the flip side, I saw how impacted Aaron was by Jack. You know, I can clearly remember sitting in the locker room and introducing the two of them, and they're playing with some of the stuff that Jack brought for Aaron, and it was time to go out on the field. And Aaron's response was, I would rather stay in here and play with Jack than to go out there and do that. And you know, Aaron had Jack on the Wheaties box with him when he was on Wheaties, and stayed in touch with the family and with Jack until he passed, and even stayed in touch with the family following it. And so it was that was one of the moments of like, these guys are, and women athletes are just as impacted as the kiddos are. And so how do we keep doing that so that they want to continue to use their platform to do good? So that was like something right before I left that really, really stuck with me. And then a couple of months after I had started Capture, I was very, very blessed in the fact that I was introduced to Connie Watt, JJ and Derek and TJ's mom, twice in a week by two different people, just through the networking that I had done over the years. And that really started, he was our first athlete client as Capture. And so that really started us kind of down the path. And so I think it's, as long as you treat them like they're human. My funny line is like, they eat, sleep, and poop like the rest of us, you know?
True.
They really do. And so as long as you treat them like they're human, yes, they happen to play a sport that they're getting paid a ton of money of. Yes, they are very, very out there and people idolize them and they do that, but they're still human. Like, there's things that still impact them, whether it is, you know, the charity work that they're doing or what people say about them on social media or how people interact with them. Like, they're still human. So as long as you can treat them as such with the respect that they deserve, but treat them like they're human, I think that has been something that has helped build the relationships and build that trust with them. And so for us, it was building our clientele wasn't as much as us going out and recruiting and trying to get these individuals. It was more of building those relationships and building those trusts so that other people referred them to us. We get referrals from a lot of different sources. And so for us, it's been maintaining those relationships to be able to get the referrals. Athletes have so many people coming at them that want something.
I bet. Yes.
And so, being able to, build that trust, to be able to be in, their inner circle of trust is something that does take time. And it does managing the relationships, because there is a lot of people around them and there's a lot more people that are trying to get around them. And so just being respectful of their time, having great communication with the others that are part of their team so that everybody's on the same page to be able to make it the easiest for the athlete. And in our realm of, philanthropy, and then also in helping them build their personal brands with digital, it's making it fun and impactful for them so that they want to come back and do it again.
Yeah. So let's dive into that a little more. So in your PR company, Capture Sports and Entertainment, so you guys represent athletes, but then you also represent companies, right? Am I correct? Like, can you explain how it works?
So we're not a marketing agent. We're not a financial agent. So in representing, we don't represent them in those ways. We partner with them on either their philanthropic impact, or we partner with them on building out their personal brand or their social media strategies. And so for us, we're working with our marketing agent to be able to, incorporate something for the foundation or something for philanthropy into their current marketing deals. We're creating campaigns that are going to be season-long campaigns based upon something that's authentic to the athlete that can then, help build the brand. And so a lot of our campaigns, their events, it has obviously the athlete involved. It has a cause involved. It has media or social media involved. And then a lot of times it has a company involved in order to be able to help with the funding. So I'll give you an example. We learned from conversations with Aaron Jones' family that Mr. and Mrs. Jones, often when Aaron and his twin brother Alvin were playing sports when they were younger, they would often donate a pair of shoes or multiple pairs of shoes through the coach to kids on their team that they knew needed a new pair of shoes. Fast forward to now, Aaron loves shoes. And so we took that story that was something that was ingrained in them, something very authentic to them, and we created a Yards for Shoes campaign. So for every yard that Aaron rushes during a season, a pair of shoes is donated to a child in need.
Oh, and that's
and
awesome.
So for us, like that campaign, it's, creating the logo for that campaign. It's getting a corporate partner to help underwrite that campaign. It is having a big kickoff launch event where, the kids are wearing Yards for Shoes t-shirts, the media is involved, Aaron was there to be able to do it. We had a couple of kids have their, races for, to be able to wear a pair of shoes to be able to tie it. But then we also did, a large thermometer so that every single week the kids could color in how many yards he rushed for that week. So for us, that gave us a social component that we could have pictures of the kids coloring it in. We could have video of them that every single week, then we did an update on social media to that further tied the company that was sponsoring, gave an update. And then once the season was over, so this past May, we were able to distribute 1,025 pairs of shoes across the state of Wisconsin. But for us, it was working with the school counselors for them to identify kids that really needed the shoes. It was getting the kids' size for their shoes. it was, you know, having that celebration where the shoes are handed out, but that each kid had a box that had their name on it. And for a lot of these kids, it was the first time that they had gotten a new pair of shoes with it.
I love that example. Was great. It really kind of helped me understand how everything works at Captor Sports and Entertainment. And I love that you tied it back into like the way he grew up and something that had started a long time ago. And now it's continuing on. Let's take that and pivot it into your podcast, Athletes Doing Good. How did that come about and how did that start? I mean, is it just something you naturally saw that, like you said, these athletes are human and they want to help people and it was a natural progression, or was there another way it started?
No, it was simply that. It was for us, so many times people, particularly in the NFL, they have helmets on all the time. Like they see them as the football player, but they don't see them as the human, as the individual. And so for us, the whole purpose of Athletes Doing Good was to be able to show, really showcase the individual behind the uniform, who they are off the court or off the field, and what their why is and why they chose that why. You know, what has impacted them in their life that they chose, that made them choose to do good? What experiences have they had that really made an impact on them that made them want to go out and do more good in there? But for us, it was showcasing who they are behind the uniform.
Yeah. Are there a couple episodes that are very memorable that you're like, if you're going to listen to my podcast, definitely check out this episode?
Do you know what? I love Cherry Starr, you know, and Bart Starr. So she has a special place in my heart. So hers is simply remarkable. We've had the honor of having many, you know, high profile athletes on there. I think, you know, being able to talk with Dwayne Wade prior to his Hall of Fame induction, and just his thoughtfulness and his wisdom in sharing how and why he does things. But I think we've also talked with other athletes that probably aren't as well known to individuals, and their stories are just as captivating, you know, to be able to share ones that aren't as well known, you know, are still very captivating. And then and them sharing, you know, something that may have happened to them in their life and how they took that and they're now making a difference. And so I think that, yes, you know, some of the really big names ones are fun to listen to. I also think that those are just as fun to hear and listen. And because for us, you know, within like the whole Athletes Doing Good, you don't have to be a superstar athlete to do good, to make an impact. Like we see so many, you know, club teams and middle school teams and high school kids, and they just had something happen to them and they decided to make or support a friend or do something that's going to make an impact. And so we wanted to kind of be able to share that full realm.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's true. I mean, everyone has a story to bring that is going to, you know, hit you in a different way and make you be inspired and remember it. So yeah, it doesn't matter if you're a big star or someone who's just starting out, but there's something there tangible that you can grab onto. Well, a lot of the listeners of You Betcha She Did are women in the entrepreneur space and or maybe people who want to be entrepreneurs. And talk to us a little bit about what it's like to take a business from just yourself, you know, like a solo entrepreneur, to growing it to 20 plus people, especially if you have any, you know, things you wish you would have known along the way that you learned.
I think one of the biggest things for me has been, you know, having my little village, having my mentor group, having those individuals that both male and female that I can bounce ideas off with, that I can share things. You know, I said earlier that, you know, when I started Capture, it was going to be on the corporate side of things. And my business plan was never to grow more than like 3 or 4 people, like just based upon my kids were 9 and 10 at the time. They were, you know, I wanted to make sure that I was dropping them off at school. I was picking them up. I would, you know, I would work during soccer practice. I would work after hours. But I never had intended it to grow even to the size that it is today, but it was probably, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago that one of my mentors that I was having lunch with, you know, she said, you know, Shelly, you're working with some of the best in the industry. Like, don't let fear of success hold you back. Like, you can grow and you can expand this. Your family's at a point in life that, you know, they're going off to college. They can do that. You have it. And so it was really at that point is when we started the growth and being strategic with the growth. You know, it's a little bit of the like chicken or the egg, which comes first in a lot of different times. But I think it's, for me, I just relied so much on talking with others and that mentorship and trust your gut. I mean, so many times I'm a huge data person, so I love to look at the data and where we are and what we're doing. But there's so many times that you just have to go back to like, trust your gut. Like, is this right? Is this not right? You know, how should we handle this? What should we do? So I think it's, you know, kind of combining all of that. You know, when I said I wanted to go out and my dad said it, you'll never work harder. He was spot on. You will never work harder. It'll never be, you know, like to me, this is so fulfilling because of what we're able to do and the impact that we're able to make. And it's something that, you know, 12 years later, I still love. And so make sure you really like it.
That's true. You're really going to be digging in. So make sure you're passionate about it.
Make sure you really like it. And that, you know, you're at a position. I go back to like, you know, being an owner, being an entrepreneur, it can get really lonely. And so I go back to that village of like, there are others that are in this entrepreneurial world that may be in the same industry, may not be, but they've lived it or they are living it. And just to bounce ideas off of and, you know, sometimes just a vent, but to figure out, you need to have that network. Otherwise it's going to be really lonely.
Yeah. Shelly, that's great advice. I definitely hear you too. Right now I'm at this spot in my business where I just brought someone on part-time. Otherwise, I've been a solo entrepreneur and I have kids who are 7 and 10. So I definitely do the pickup and the drop-off. And so I'm kind of at that stage where I want to grow a little bit, but I'm not ready to grow big, right? Because I just have balancing all those other aspects. But I really love when I find other female entrepreneurs or mentors and people to talk through things, it's so helpful,
right? Yes. And bringing on that first employee, it's a blot. Like,
I know. You're kind of like, should I do it? I not? Like, okay,
here we go. Do it. Yeah. No, I mean, I can clearly remember being in our first office and I was sitting on the floor. I was putting a desk together and our phone rang and I was like, someone's calling.
Like, who's calling us?
You know, so it's fun to think back. It's fun to think back to those times and to the growth times. And you have to be okay with making mistakes. Like there is, especially, you know, like in our world of events and that type of stuff, like there is no event that's going to be perfect. Like that's just the reality of it. Sometimes you're dealing with masses of people. And you know what? Within those masses of people, there's going to be people that are not happy. They're just not happy in general, and they're going to take it out on you.
Yes, totally.
For what I love is that if we have a great idea and we think that we can truly do it, then let's go do it and not be afraid that we're going to make a mistake, because inevitably there's going to be times when we make a mistake. And we just have to be okay with it. You need to minimize the mistakes that are, you know, going to happen and do all that, but you have to be okay with not perfection.
Exactly. You'll never go anywhere if you're too focused on, you know, being perfect and all those mistakes. Like you said, it's going to happen. It's inevitable, but it's a great learning opportunity. So take it as it comes and be like, all right, what did I learn from this? What do we need to change?
There's so many learning opportunities. And I think, you know, I think for us especially early on, I was so set on perfection. And I think it hindered me in some of that, that we do really, really good things with what we're doing. Things that I'm truly, truly proud of. And for us, if the consumers don't see any of the issues that we see behind the scenes, we've done our job. But there is going to be behind the scenes issues that we're going to know about, that we're going to learn from.
Yes. Yeah. Just try not to bring them to the forefront.
We just don't want others to know and see about it. But I think that was something that I had to learn.
Yeah. And it's a hard lesson to learn at first, but then you find that it becomes invaluable. Well, speaking of the future, and where do you think Capture Sports and Entertainment will be in 5 years, especially in this world of social media and online presence that keeps evolving?
You know what? I think for us, we've had some opportunities in the entertainment space. So we recently rebranded about a year and a half ago now to add the entertainment to our name. So I do see us growing, you know, within that entertainment and music space. We've also had, you know, some really big growth in our digital and personal branding space. Like you said, just with what social media is right now, individuals, in order for them to be able to, for the athletes to be able to capitalize, whether it's in NIL, in the college space, or in the professional space, in order for them to get endorsements, they have to have a great social presence. You know, brands and consumers, they want to know who they are off the field, off the court. And so for us to be able to build out, I see a large growth opportunity within that area as well. You know, we'll always stay true to our core philanthropic space. And that continues to grow and thrive as well. But I think being able to add some additional channels in the space of entertainment and that personal branding is going to be important for us.
Yeah, that makes sense. That seems like a good area to keep expanding in. Well, Shelly, thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely.
If you want to get in touch with Shelly or check out Capture Sports and Entertainment, or I would highly recommend checking out their podcast, Athletes Doing Good, please check the show notes. I'll have links to all of those. As always, if you like what you're hearing on You Betcha She Did, don't forget to share it with a friend, a neighbor, a cousin, maybe your fellow sports fan. They might want to hear this episode, right? As always, thanks for listening and take care. Attention, You Betcha She Did listeners. If you're like me, you love listening to podcasts, and perhaps you have even thought of starting your own podcast. If that is the case, I would love for you to download my free top 10 podcasting equipment essentials. Here you will find my recommendations for 10 pieces of podcasting equipment that will help you get a podcast up and running smoothly without breaking the bank. That's right. Podcasting does not have to be a super expensive endeavor. It's actually quite affordable and is a great way to elevate your voice, grow your brand, and get your name out there, especially as an expert. Check the show notes for your free podcast top 10 essential equipment guide. You can also go to podcaststartupguide.com.